The following Women's Spaces show was recorded on Monday, June 23rd, 2025.
The woman in your life will do what she must do to comfort you and calm you down and let you rest now. The woman in your life, she can rest so easily. She does everything you do. Because the woman in your life is you.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Women's Spaces. My name is Elaine B. Holtz, and I'm your host. With me at the board is my friend, my partner, my engineer, and my co-producer and host of the new segment that we have been doing, Men's Spaces, Ken Norton. Good morning, Ken.
Good morning, Elaine.
Oh, my goodness. We come to you this morning with such, what is going on in this world? And I'm really, really excited to have some of the two of the guests that I'm having on that maybe can make some sense of it and maybe give us some hope. Well, joining me on the phone this morning is Dr. Raquel Holmes. She's the coordinator and founder of the Freedom Festival, and we'll be talking about the Freedom Festival, which happens from Juneteenth, which was last Thursday, and I have to announce that we went and we saw the Juneteenth play. I remember we had Enid Peckett on the line that wrote this wonderful, wonderful play, and we got to see it performed. It was absolutely wonderful. Well, joining me on the phone this morning is Dr. Raquel Holmes, the coordinator of the Freedom Festival, and which, like I said, is taking place from June 19th through July 4th. We will be talking about the Juneteenth play that Ken and I attended, and also we'll be talking about all the wonderful events that we're having. And I just love it, the idea of Freedom Festival, and we're listening to all this stuff that's going on. I cannot believe that human beings give each other permission to bomb each other. It just makes me sick. For the second segment of the show, joining me on the phone will be Dr. My goodness, I have two doctors on the line, Dr. Freud and Dr. Holmes. It's just such a thrilling thing to think that women have gotten themselves so educated and are so knowledgeable. Anyway, Dr. Freud, she is a regular on Women's Spaces. I'm honored to have her on. She's a mental health counselor and hypnotherapist in practice in New York, and she's a well-published author, written, and she is also the wife of Richard Wolf, does the show Economic Update. He's on KBBF every Tuesday from 11 to 12 p.m. So I'm really happy to have her on as a guest. And we're going to talk about what's happening. We're going to talk about the backstory, so to speak, when it comes to the war. And, I have one announcement on to make this morning. And it's a little bit early to make this announcement, but I'm very, very good friends with a dear man by the name of Reuben Scott, he's been through a lot in his life and really is one of these people who is just bound. He's just, his whole commitment to doing good things in the community is amazing to me. So mark your calendars for August 30th, 2025. It's going to be the fourth annual African Soul Festival, and it's going to be happening at Rohnert Park City Center Plaza, and that's going to be from 11 a.m. to 5 p.m., and that I said it's August 30th, so you mark your calendars. This gives you plenty of time to get on with it. Well, let's get on with it. Joining me on the phone is Dr. Raquel Holmes, founder of the Freedom Festival. Actually, this is their third year of putting this festival on, so I'm really honored to have her on. I've had her on one or two times to talk about it, but now this is the final of the festival, and I want to make sure that everybody has all the information. So, hello, Dr. Holmes, are you on the phone?
I am indeed, Elaine. I am indeed.
Can you come a little closer and just talk a little bit louder, my friend?
I can try.
Okay, there you are. That's much better.
Okay.
Well, welcome. And here we are, the third year of the Freedom Festival. So what I'd like you to do to start off, talk about what is the Freedom Festival, what motivated you to begin it, and any kind of history that you'd like to share with our listening audience.
Oh, thank you so much. Well, the Freedom Festival is joy in the midst of pain. It kind of is a combination where people across the country and around the world, I just got off a session this morning where international students from India were leading what was called an international conversation cafe, building community with differences. And what we're doing is people are bringing things they care about or passionate about and inviting others to join them in conversations about freedom and independence. And this was inspired by essentially Juneteenth, which has been celebrated for 160 years now, but Juneteenth becoming a federal holiday in 2021. And Opal Lee said, wouldn't it be great? And Opal Lee, being the person who championed this celebration that had been continued by the descendants of the enslaved for years, she championed it becoming a federal holiday. She said, let's celebrate from Juneteenth to the 4th of July. That's 16 days, 16 days where everyone in the country, everyone can do something to invite each other to celebrate and explore freedom and independence. And I'm a scientist. I'm an activist. I'm a community organizer. And so I reached out to all of the people who had reached out to me since Floyd's murder around having uncomfortable independent conversations and said, hey, let's do this too. Let's find ways to celebrate and create culture together. And so people are saying yes in a bunch of different ways. We've got 22 events happening now since the 19th of June and on through the 4th of July.
I want to go back just a little bit. You kicked off on Juneteenth, which was June 19th. We had the festival, the Juneteenth festival on the 14th. In fact, that was so interesting. People would say, how can you be celebrating Juneteenth on the 14th? I says, well, that's the only date. That's the closest date we could get the downtown square. But let's just go back a little bit. You know, one of the things that Ken and I had the honor of doing is we went to see the Juneteenth, a stage reading of a new play by Ingrid Pickett. And it was fantastic. It really was. And it really, you know, one of the things that really struck me, they had a slideshow in the back. And when I saw, you know, when I saw young Ruby Dee and all the players on this, you know, the screen, you had a picture when young Ruby Dee was trying to get into the schools, and then some of the things that happened with the dogs and all the horrors that happened at that time in the 60s. I remember seeing it on the television. It was a shock to me. You know, I was very conservative at the time, and I thought America could do real wrong. And here they're putting dogs onto human beings. So that was an amazing event. How do you think people experienced that? Did you get any feedback on it? Because I just thought, I think it's worth mentioning. I wish they could do it once a week for the next year, because to really show, you know, if anybody knows the meaning of freedom, it's African-American people, Americans. I'm sorry. They've gone through it. They've been slaves. They know what it's like. So talk just a little bit about the play. How do you believe it was received?
Oh, the play was received wonderfully. I have a colleague back east in New York who's part of, who's the artistic director for Castillo Theater, a political theater, grassroots community built, and been involved in theater for years, Dan Friedman. And he wrote a note to Enid Pickett and the Enid Pickett players, just saying that it was community theater at its best.
Oh,
and
I agree.
Political community theater at its best. It was a human look at just the conditions of the time. And, you know, one of the things that's often said about Juneteenth is the enslaved did not know that they were free. And I think Enid does a beautiful job of exploring how is that even possible? Because they were also oral traditions. If you look at the archives from the enslaved of the moment, there were interviews that were taking place. They also said, we did know. We knew the war was over. We knew the Union had won. But there was this active oppression and repression of Black people at that time. People weren't allowed to read. They were persecuted for attempts to exercise freedom, even though they were legally free. So Enid does this beautiful... Go ahead.
No, go finish.
Enid did a beautiful job of humanizing those moments and not resolving them, but inviting us to continue to share our stories of freedom orally, and as well to grapple with the questions that are there, and that we're in an ongoing process of, as she asked, who are the ancestors we want to be.
It was amazing, you know, when you start thinking of ancestors. And one of the things that really came clear to me is what do you want your, you know, what do you want your grandchildren or your great-grandchildren or whoever, or when someone's doing, you know, genealogy to find out? What do they want to find out about you? And it's wonderful to see people who are activists. And also, one thing you said that was so interesting to me right now is you said they weren't even allowed to read. I mean, if someone taught them to read or they were caught knowing how to read, it was all hell broke loose. And so when you look at today's world, you have children, the studies have shown that in our country, some children can't even read beyond the sixth grade, you know, and you don't realize what a precious gift it is to be able to read. And it's mind boggling. Well, let's get back to, we're coming to the end of the segment. I just wanted to make sure that we got all the information out to the people. So why don't you let us know maybe one or two things that are going on in the website where they can get all the information they need. And also we will be putting it on Women's Spaces. So go ahead. Let us know that.
Wonderful. So let me start with the website. It's freedomfestivalusa.org. freedomfestivalusa.org. And it is the Improv Science Freedom Festival, which is one, again, celebrating diversity and bringing people together. So some local events for us in Sonoma County. Many things are online. Almost everything is free. The online sessions are led, again, by people across the country. But locally, we have at the Roadhouse Cafe in Bodega Bay on Wednesday, a micless open mic, Conversation of Freedom Through Poetry. We have the Sonoma County Committee for Law Enforcement Accountability online on January 27th at 3 p.m. Solar Punk and Rural Education by Sonoma State on January 27th at 12. And my favorite, Elaine, at this moment, is Hakeem Olusheyi, who is on the Science Channel, black astrophysicist, is from rural Mississippi, and who talks so openly about what it was like for him as a young black man to grow up, to then go to Stanford, and to now be a leading science figure. He's going to be in conversation, ordinary conversation with people online on July 2nd, and that's an opportunity that's very rare, but he wanted to make sure that we were being accessible. This is a festival that's from the heart of science with a focus on accessibility and creating community together. And I hope people will, again, go to freedomfestivalusa.org, sign up for all the events. You just RSVP, sign up for the newsletter, but RSVP for the events, and we'll make sure that you get in. And it's been lovely collaborating with you, Elaine, on this. Again, it is our communities building what we want to see in terms of being together and discovering what freedom and independence means to us.
Well, you know, Raquel, you put it so beautifully. And I mean, I just want to do a shout out. I mean, this is your third year, and I just know I've just kind of been on the sidelines with you, you know, trying to get the word out. But I know how much effort it takes and how much guidance it takes just bringing all these people together. So we're at the end of the segment, but you know, we're just in a horrible time right now with the war that just broke out like this. Well, let me give you a last word. Is there any message or anything that you would like to send out to the people? Feeling that what you're feeling is really quickly anything that's on your heart.
Yeah, I think the more we can be in open conversation and curiosity and building are the steps both towards healing and towards peace. The grand moments are in small gestures every day and living with the uncertainty. It can be uncomfortable and awkward, but that's also where hope lives. So keep creating hope by being in conversation with others and letting that experience transform us. We can create, and we will, and we are creating something new together. We can do it.
Well, you know, folks, I want to say something in response to that. When you have an open heart, these are the type of people that you attract, people who care about freedom, who care about giving, who care about serving the community. So, Dr. Raquel Holmes, I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for being on Women's Spaces, for telling us about this, and to remind my listeners that all this information will be on www.womenspaces.com and also go to freedomfestival.org. There'll be a
USA.
Oh, freedomfestivalusa.org. Oh boy, I'm so lucky. I got two producers with me. Thank you so much. And thank you, Raquel.
Thank you so much. Thank you. Have a great show.
You too. Oh Bye. My goodness. Wow. Well, we're gonna take a musical break. Oh God, I love Raquel Holmes. She just inspires me to put this whole thing together. You know, I mean, it is a monumental effort, but it's so worthwhile. Anyway, we're gonna take a musical break, and the song that I'm gonna play, and I could not resist it. I had to play it. And I cannot believe it's just as timely today as it was when it was written in 1960. I think it was 63 by Bob Dylan. It's called Masters of War. And let's see, who do we have singing that? I can never pronounce her name. It's so interesting. Okay, this is Masters of War by Tatiana Moraes. So let's go ahead, and then when we come back, we're going to have Dr. Harriet Freud on the line, who is also very, very active in the community, and we're going to talk about, like, what's going on, how we can get involved, and just to give us a little historical background to what's happening. So let's go ahead, Ken, let's play that song, and then we'll get Dr. Freud on the line.
Come, you masters of war, you that build of guns, you that build the death plans, you that build all the bombs, you that hide behind walls, you that hide behind desks. I just want you to know I can see through your mask. You that never done nothing but built to destroy. You play with my world like it's your little toy. You put a gun in his hand and you hide from his eyes. And you turn and run farther when the fast bullets fly. Like Judas of old, you lie and deceive. A world war can be won. You want me to believe, but I see through your eyes and I see through your brain, like I see through the water that runs down my drain. You fasten all the triggers for the others to fire. Then you sit back and watch when the death count gets higher. You hide in your mansion as young people's blood flows out of their bodies and is buried in the mud. You've thrown the worst fear that can never be heard. Fear to bring children into the world. For threatening my baby, unborn and unnamed. You ain't worth the blood that runs in your veins. How much do I know to talk out of turn? You might say that I'm young, you might say I'm a mother, but there's one thing I know, though I'm younger than you, Jesus would never forgive what you do. Let me ask you one question. Is your money that good? Will it buy you forgiveness? Do you think that it could? And I think you will find when your death takes its toll, all the money you made will never buy back your soul.
Wow, is your money that good? Can you buy us forgiveness? And then the young people's blood. Oh, my goodness. I just cannot believe it has been 52 years since that song has been written, and it still makes sense in the present. It's amazing. Well, for you just joining in, I want to remind my listeners the opinions expressed here are not necessarily the opinions of the station, the board of directors, its members, or Women's Spaces. Well, welcome back. You're listening to Women's Spaces, and I'm your host, Elaine B. Holt, and I am so excited to announce that I have on the air with me, joining by telephone all the way from New York, Dr. Harriet Fraud. Welcome, Dr. Fraud. Welcome once again to Women's Spaces. Hello?
I'll try again.
Uh-oh, we lost her for some reason. Well, let me give you a little background on Dr. Fraud. She's just an amazing woman. Dr. Harriet Fraud is a mental health counselor and hypnotherapy in New York City. She is a longtime political activist initiating movements for better public education, free public child care and midwifery, and for the rights of childbirth. She is a founding mother of the feminist movement. She has a podcast, Capitalism Hits Home, her regular radio program. Interpersonal Update appears on WBAI on Tuesday nights at 6:30 Eastern Standard Time. And she also is the wife of Dr. Richard Wolf, and he is on KBBF every Tuesday from 11 to 12 p.m. And it's an honor to have you on the phone once again, Harriet. Welcome to Women's Spaces.
Here.
Are you there?
I certainly am.
Well, welcome.
I hope you can hear me.
I'm just so excited to have you. And my first question for you is, what the hell's going on, Harriet? Why is this happening?
Well, what I think is happening is that the United States empire is just about over. The new ascendant power in the world is China. And the United States is pretending that it's 1950, and we are the kings of the world because all the other economies have been decimated, and so we can do whatever we like, and we can't. Also, Trump is in a difficult position. He promised things that he absolutely can't deliver. He promised a return of manufacturing. There is no way that manufacturers who left for China in order to get low salaries and no ecological constraints and few benefits so that they could make more billions, they're not going to spend billions to come back to the United States and pay higher wages and have to pay some benefits. No way. So that's gone. He promised to make America great again, which is the empire that ascended after World War II when all the other economies that were advanced, Germany, France, Italy, they were all destroyed, and Russia had just come out of a bruising war where 30 million Russians were killed during World War II. They were in no position to compete. And China had just emerged from a civil war and being ravaged by the Japanese and having a revolution. So no way could they compete, and the United States was king and the dollar is king. Well, it's not anymore. And Trump has made promises he can't possibly keep. And like a good colonist, he hopes that he can expand the territory. That's what he's talking about taking over Iceland and making Canada another state, taking over Greenland, taking over Panama, as if more colonies would solve our problem when colonialism is dead. It was defeated. So he's up against it. He's also up against having to end all wars when he's making another war. And the United States has lost the last three wars we fought, Vietnam, Iraq, and Afghanistan, although we have the most armaments, and they didn't even have an air force, we lost. So the idea of America winning is not possible, and he's lost. He can't fulfill the promises he made.
Well, you know, Harriet, also besides that, was so interesting. I was watching, you know, watching on Facebook, you can see, get all the information, but I watched, they had a conference, and the president got up and talked, and behind him was, I guess his name is Hetzek, he's the head of...
Yes, the defense secretary.
The defense secretary, and then Martin Rubio, and then, of course, his, I think Martin Rubio is his staff, is a... His main
Secretary of State,
yeah,
Marco
Secretary
Rubio.
Of State, and then he had also J.D. Vance, who was the Vice President. And I, the way he was talking and watching these three men behind them, I could not help but feel. And then, of course, they just put under the bus that woman, the woman, I can't remember her name right now, that the one that was said that there was no uranium there.
Tulsi Gabbard, probably,
yes,
who said it
and
was
kind of
totally
pushed,
wrong. They were wrong.
Right, and pushed her under the bus. And I couldn't help but think, why is it that these men, I mean, what is it in them as a psychotherapist that you feel that there's this desire to go to war, and that men like give permission to each other to do these horrible things? I just don't understand it.
I think they think of taking power. They don't think of all the death, because there will be dead, and there are dead, and they think we can take power through violence. A lot of men think that, all the way down to the line, to the ones who beat their wives and children. And also it's because aggression and rage and violence are some of the few emotional expressions they're allowed within a stereotyped masculinity. And so they go for that. Plus, the United States' only supremacy in the world is a supremacy of producing and containing weapons of mass destruction. And so they want to go with that card, which is the most lucrative and the most famous,
well, you know,
even if it's deadly.
It's interesting you say that, because I had a Native American leader on the show by the name of Charlie Toledo. An amazing, amazing woman. I asked her the question. I said, you know, what is it, do you think, what's in it in these people that they can do this? And she said she felt they were all injured children. And I thought that is a very interesting concept, to think that maybe we're hurting so deep inside that the only way that we can get rid of the rage that we feel is through external rage. And that's how I see war, is an external rage. And then I can't help but think to myself, when I look at the election, that so many women voted for Trump, you know, and so many men, I mean, my goodness. And then all of a sudden now everybody's against it, because all of a sudden they realize that he was not telling the truth. And I don't understand why they don't understand the truth when it was coming out all along. I mean, Kamala Harris predicted all this. So it's just an interesting thing. And women and children are suffering right now.
Terribly. Already before this terrible thing, a predictor of poverty was having a child. And children are the poorest people. 1 in 8 New York children is homeless. 1 in 5 across the United States doesn't get enough to eat. You know, they're suffering, but men don't usually take care of children. And they're not in touch with children. And they're not in touch with their own vulnerable childhood. As far as the white women, the 53% of white women who voted for Trump, they want to make America great again, in that they want the man they're married to give them a status as Mrs. Somebody, and they want lifetime support while they do all the work of feeding, cleaning, connecting their husband to his children and his relatives, taking care of children's whole schedules, and being the social safety net for their families. That was a lot of work, and they don't want to have to work outside the home as well as within it. And in the 50s and the 60s, they didn't have to. And Trump says he'll make America great again. In other words, he will give white men the ability to support dependent wives and children. Of course he won't. He can't. The economy has changed. The world has changed. But that's what they want. They want to be supported.
Well, what do you think right now at this time in this venue, what do you think is the most important thing that people do? I mean, I was listening to an interview with Sean Hannity and Ted Koppel. Ted Koppel, just for our listeners, was a very down-to-earth, I would call him a down-to-earth journalist. And he was kind of in the world of where journalism, you kind of could trust what was coming across the air. And then he was talking with Sean Hannity, who was on Fox News, and what Koppel said to Kennedy was very interesting. He says that you have captured an audience that is listening to what they want to hear and not what is true. And I kept hearing that in my mind as I was driving to the studio. What is your take on that? I mean, when you look at Fox News and you look at some of these different stations, why do you feel they're so popular? Most people know they're not telling the truth. But yet at the same time, I mean, I don't understand it when someone says, I know you're not telling the truth, but still they listen to you. I mean, what do you think is going on here? And how can people overcome that kind of journalism?
Well, they feel that they're always lied to, because they are. I mean, you're bombarded with ads that say you'll be happy if you buy something. They know they won't. They were taught in school that if they were white, and particularly if they were male, and they worked hard, they would succeed and be able to support a family and or have a protected family, and every generation would do better than the last one. Well, that's been over since the late 1970s. But it was what they grew up thinking, and they want the fantasy. And where they know the reality isn't there, they want somebody to blame. And in this suck-up, kick-down environment, they find somebody even more deprived than they who they can kick and blame. Like immigrants, the poorest people who work the least satisfying and least well-paid jobs. And people of color and poor women. That's who they want to humiliate, because that's who they feel they're superior to. And they don't want to face that they're being lied to. And they don't have a real alternative. America doesn't have a socialist party, a communist party, an anarchist party, or this or that. It doesn't have choices. It has two parties who take wild money from donors to get elected. It costs $15 billion the last election, okay?
Oh, my God, you got to be 50. Can you imagine what we can do with $15 billion?
That's right.
Oh, my God.
You could imagine what we could do with the trillion we spend on the military when we've lost the last wars that we have fought. And it doesn't matter, you know. The U.S. has 1.31 million active duty service people, you know, and it's ridiculous. They're in 130 countries, and people are really hurting, and they're very angry, and Trump gave them someone to blame.
Well, you know, it's interesting that you bring up about the troops, because from what I'm understanding, that there's quite a few troops in Iran in that area. And I'm wondering, do you believe they're in harm's way? And and what are some of the movements that are going on that you believe that can help change that? Are they working? I mean, what's going on with all this protesting and all these different things? How do you feel that is working?
Well, I feel like it's beginning to work, because when minimum 5 million people
I know
turned out on the No Kings protests, Trump changed his tune a bit. As people are protesting ICE all over New York, they're getting a little more careful now. And Trump switches. He goes back on it. Now he says he wants peace in Iran, because obviously he didn't get the adoration as military leader he hoped to garnish from bombing Iran. Also, he wanted to strengthen the Israel-America alliance, because everyone in the UN, every country either declined to vote or voted against. 143 UN Assembly members voted to censure Israel's genocide. The United States, of course, and Israel didn't. But he wants to sort of champion the power of that alliance, which is despised by most of the world. In fact, almost all of the world. So he had a lot of different motivations, and he wanted to distract his base from the fact that he can't deliver and make them feel proud of our military might. And now, because that didn't work, Trump is saying now he wants peace, having just bombed people.
Well, you know, another thought I had, you know, with all that that's going on, I turned on some of the news this morning, and I kind of got a little glimmering of what Fox News is doing. And I thought to myself, how is this allowed that we, so much lying is coming through? I mean, especially right now when there's so much danger. I mean, God forbid we should have a nuclear war. I mean, even though it maybe it be over in the Middle East, people forget. You know, I was talking with my son-in-law. He said, we forget where we live in the middle of the planet, and everything that happens affects the whole planet, whether we like it or not. Like, the air just circulates all the time. So what do you think is the real danger of that? And what can people do, especially to get the media to start really focusing on the truth? I mean, there's a few stations you can listen to, but generally speaking, you feel as many, many untruths.
Well, we'd have to have political power, and you don't have political power without political organizations. And the American left has been really dismembered since the McCarthy hearings, because before, you know, by the end of the World War II, and I should say that during World War II, Russia, the Soviet Union and Russia was our biggest ally. 30 million Russians were killed in that war, and the U.S. and Russia emerged from the war triumphant. And the American business was scared. FDR, during the Depression, had gone to his rich millionaire cohort and said, look, people are marching in the streets by tens of thousands. The Communist Party is growing by leaps and bounds. If you don't agree to a 96.8% tax on your wealth and profits, they're going to take it from you. So they agreed, and they have wanted to undo that. And they have succeeded. Truman started it and started a whole roll downhill so that, and this is, they are finally savaging these programs that FDR and the New Deal and the progressive forces which are on the left in the United States and the left unions push through. And so America is just beginning to have a left. We don't have powerful organizations that give an alternative explanation of what's going on. So Americans only have the right wing. You have to go to the internet to get a different story. You can go on Al Jazeera, see what they're saying about these bombings. Obviously very different things. You know that there are, the United States didn't allow RT anymore, the Russian broadcasting, but you can go and get alternative explanations.
Well,
so people don't know.
Let's hold that thought for a moment, because one of the things that is very important that people have to stand up, they have to talk out, and I really appreciate the little bit of history that we just have gone through. I mean, it's important that people become aware that this is not something that just happened yesterday. This is a long-going event that has happened over time and has brought us to this point. And a lot of it has to do with fear. So we're going to take a little musical break here, and I'm going to play a song called By My Silence by Ellen Bookstale. It's a wonderful, wonderful song. And then when we come back, Harriet, I'd like you to put your psychologist hat on.
Okay.
And we're going to talk a little bit how people can overcome some of the depressions and become more and more active. Is that okay with you?
It's good.
Okay, here we're going to go. Here we go, Ken. Let's go ahead and play that song, By My Silence. And when we come back, I'm just so delighted to talk to Dr. Freud, because what happens is that she just gives me not only the history, but a little bit of belief system that, yes, we shall overcome. So let's go ahead, Ken. Let's play that song.
communist. So when they came for the communist, I held my tongue, minded my own business like a good neighbor. I trusted that justice was done.
I didn't ask what was their crime. It was their sadness was in mine. I didn't care where they were sent. For my silence, I gave my consent. For my silence, gave my consent.
I am not Jewish, so when they came for the Jews, I had nothing to say. Branded with stars like cattle in boxcars and then taken away. What was their crime?
Till their sorrow turned into mine. Their sorrow turned into mine.
Well, I was okay. I was a citizen
and I was free.
I didn't care. Now there's nobody there, no one to speak out for me.
At the time I believed it never happened to me.
I didn't.
From my silence, I gave my consent. You know, that's right
powerful.
Now, right now that we have the same thing happening across the globe here around immigration. I mean, they're doing, I mean, when I look at that, it seems like I'm living in Nazi Germany. I'm sorry. Well, welcome back, folks. You're listening to Women's Faces, and my name is Elaine B. Holt, and I'm your host. And I have the honor of talking on the phone with Dr. Harold Freud, who is a psychiatrist in New York and very well received and really an amazing, amazing woman. And I asked her to put on her psychiatrist hat and maybe give us a little advice. So Harriet, tell us, so much is going on when I think of it. And I mean, people are speaking out because I think they realize by their silence, they give their consent. But I remember even last night when Ken and I were talking, he was so upset about this. You know, we had just been with the grandkids and the great grandkids and we're just thinking of the future. So what are some ideas that you have how people can kind of be more level headed and not be so depressed, so to speak, and so they can do something?
Well, we do need an organization. And in New York, there's an example of how that might succeed. Right now, the leading candidate for mayor is Zoran Mamdani, and he is a socialist right out front with a platform of rent freezes and doing something about the homeless as a way of stopping crime rather than just more cops that don't work, and putting a whole social service force out for people who are in trouble rather than shooting them, which has been done too much in New York, and free child care and taxing the rich to pay for it. Now, one of the reasons that Germany, France, the Nordic countries all have excellent child care, huge maternity and paternity leaves like a year, and guarantee of job back at an equal wage, is because they didn't have a big anti-communist crusade, and they have a big left. The United States used to have the CIO of AFL-CIO, which was a very strong force, and it was full of leftists. But once they decided that all communists were traitors, even though they did not do things like January 6th, you know, try to take over the government, but they deported people, they jailed people, and if you were a communist, you were a traitor. And that, then the left was all fellow travelers to communists, so they left the unions. And we used to have 35% unionization, now we have 11, okay? Although millions are joining up. And so you have a promise, like in New York, Mondani is the leading, he's the leading candidate. I don't know if he'll win in tomorrow's election, I mean, Tuesday's election, but he's the leading candidate in the polls. You also have AOC, who says she's a socialist. You also have Rashida Tlaib in the Midwest, in Michigan, who says she's a socialist.
Well, Harriet, I want to stop you here for a second, because you know that that's a dirty word, socialist. So can you just explain a little bit to our audience, what does it mean? I mean, I like to say that I'm a humanist, you know. I believe in humanism, you know, because to get rid of those other two words that are such triggers for people. But when you look at socialists, you know, it's a social structure that we're talking about. Can you just explain it a little bit so people don't get... I think that's part of the depression. We don't realize, we don't see any hope in anything. Especially when they start clouding our minds when we believe in something. You know, like you're afraid to mention, like maybe you believe in a certain way. You say, oh my God, what are they going to do, pick me up or something? So can you explain a little bit exactly what socialism is? What does it mean?
In socialism, the state is not the vehicle of those who have the money. The state is, in democratic socialism, is a democratic process. In socialism, let's say, taking Sweden or Norway or Finland or any of those, or even France has a big socialist party in Germany, you have a lot of candidates. You don't have any money in elections, so you can't get the best democracy money can buy. You get the democracy people want. They have only, the only ads that are allowed are posters, and everyone who's running gets equal time on television and radio. And nobody's allowed to have more time than that. Okay, an aspect of socialism is, if it's democratic socialism, is that the government works for the people. It doesn't work to give, let's say, oil depletion allowances to the rich people who are taking the oil from under all of our soil. It's not determined by who pays for elections. That's a big deal. And the idea is providing for the mass of people. And the mass of people don't need all those armaments. You know, the United States has 7 times more weapons than any other country in the world, even though we lost the last 3 wars. And so you don't, you know, and people have more of a chance to participate because it isn't all bought and sold. That's the biggest factor in a socialist.
Well, another thing, too, is if I talk to a friend, say, for example, and I've had this conversation, the first thing that comes out of their mouth is that you can't own property, that the government is a dictator. So do you find...
Well, they don't own your, you know, they don't take your toothbrush, but it means that... Let's look at Germany, where the Socialist Party has made a difference. It means that in every factory with 200 workers or more, a third of the board of directors has to be the workers in the factory whose lives are really affected by what the board of directors do. And another portion has to be for the neighborhood whose ecology is affected by that factory. So you have about half the board looking out for people's needs, their environmental needs, the workers in the factory. If you have 2,000 workers or more, then it's half the board has to be the workers plus a certain amount for the neighborhood and ecology. In Sweden, if you want to, you first of all, none of them allow outsourcing because they have strong socialist unions who are for their workers and who won't allow them to outsource. If you want to outsource, for example, in Sweden, you have to get every single worker in your factory an equivalently paid job. And so it's easier for them to produce something else than to go out of business. And there are laws against outsourcing. Socialism protects the people who do the work and wants, as a basic principle, the people who do the work should make the decisions, the people who have the money.
Exactly. You can't move into a house. You can't build it yourself. You have to have a builder. Well, you know, it's so interesting because these trigger words, you know, even for myself, I notice I become very careful, you know, how I believe or what I say, because I don't want somebody to take the wrong idea. So what I understand you saying is that one of the ways that people can overcome some of this depression and fear is if they get more involved with different organizations where we're doing things trying to promote more equality and more fairness for people. Because what you're saying is, when you have these strong social programs, which we have this trigger word, socialist, when we have these strong social programs that people can participate in, there's more safety and there's less depression. Because right now, how can we stop the depression when, you know, people are scared to death?
They are, and 1 out of 3 Americans by the Psychiatric Association poll is very lonely. So one of the things that people can do is they can join organizations and movements. That's why the No Kings demonstration was so successful. 5 million people minimum were out. You know, I was in a little town of 1,700 people, and I went to their protest, which had over 100 people at it. And that's because people told their neighbors, come out, we have to do something.
We have to stand up, like they say. By our silence, we give our consent. Well, Harriet, we have come so fastly to the end of our segment, so I want to give you last words, any words that you would like to tell of inspiration for our listeners, and also your website and any of the things that you're involved in right now.
Well, I have a podcast called Capitalism Hits Home, and it's sponsored by Democracy at Work. If you look up Harriet, F-R-A-A-D, Fraud, you can find me. And I talk about how the events in the world and in our economy and our politics in America affect Americans' personal lives. And it is a feminist-inflected show. I also have a website, harrietfraud.com, and people, if they want to email me, can send me an email, hfraud@gmail.com, that email. But really what people have to do is connect, because it's depressing to be all alone. For your mental health, you need to be connected to people. And if we connect, we can win. I think one of the reasons that Trump has now backed off and said he wants peace is there was huge disapproval. He went down in the polls. But I think we have to look for organizations like Indivisible that ran the No Kings protest, and the things in your area that believe the things that you do, and join with other people. Because alone, we're nothing. You know, what we have is we have the number, and we have to unite whether we're black or white or Hispanic or Asian or gay or straight. We have to realize what we have is each other. We do the work. We are the strength of this country. And so we have to join together and say we want a fairer, kinder system. We want to tax the rich.
Well, Dr. Harriet Fraud, I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for being on Women's Spaces. You certainly help encourage me and keep me motivated, because I really believe once people come together, because on our Constitution, we the people...
Right.
We the people. You know, Patti Smith says people have the power. It's amazing once we come together and we're showing that. And it is frightening. But you know something? The first letter in fear is F. Turn it around to faith, to have faith that you are making a difference when you come out and say enough is enough. So thank you so much, Harriet, and I want
thank
to wish you,
you
a
Elaine.
Wonderful
Your
day.
Show is wonderful. Thank you.
Oh, thank you. Oh, we're just the thank you group. Let's have a thank you club.
Yes, and to the listeners, too.
Thank you, my love, from the bottom of my heart for your sharing your wisdom. Well, folks, that's it. My God, the show goes by so fast. You know, I keep saying I wish I had an hour and a half, and Ken says, no, we just got to have an hour. That's enough. That's a lot of work just to get this hour together. Well, you've been listening to Women's Space, and I'm your host, Elaine B. Holt. And I want to remind you, as I do at the end of every show, our children are the future, and we must never lose sight of that. I'm going to become a great-grandmother for the third time, and let me tell you something. When I think of that child coming to the world, it's going to be a little boy. I say no more wars, no drafts. We want peace. This is Elaine B. Holtz. You've been listening to Women's Spaces. Thank you so much for listening, and I will look forward to being with you the next time. Are we still on?
30 seconds more.
30 seconds. Well, I said it all. Thank you. Thank you for listening, and don't lose faith, don't lose heart, and don't listen to the lies. We, the people, have a voice. And remember, by our silence, we give our consent. And that's why I choose to be on the air, because I do not want to be silent. Thank you so much for listening. And I look forward to being with you the next time.
She can wait so
The previous Women's Spaces show was recorded on Monday, June 23rd, 2025.